Webster says the definition of remember: to bring to mind or to think of again. It's kind of what we thought, right? To bring to mind or think of again. I have a quote here. Sir Winston Churchill says, "Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." He also says, "I have seen too many instances where people continue to pursue wrong courses of action because they did not take the time to think critically about what has happened in the past." Right? I may not agree with everything Churchill said, but that's a pretty good statement, I believe. Deuteronomy 4:9, I want to take you there. And what we're going to do today is you're turning to Deuteronomy 4:9. What I hope to do is I want the Bible, I want to allow the Word of God to paint a picture for us about what it means to remember, the importance of it, why is it relevant for us today, and the dangers of not remembering and things like that. But as we go through this, we're going to see that God has placed a large importance on just the act of remembering. Now, it means a little bit something different to us today because we have so much information at our fingertips. I don't even have to hardly remember my wife's phone number. As a matter of fact, I don't. It's on speed dial too. But my point is we have so much information just in our phones that we don't memorize things like we used to have to memorize, right? You know, in the Jewish times, in the Jesus' days and before, children were taught to memorize pretty much almost the whole entire Old Testament, at least the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. They had to memorize the whole thing by a certain age. And so, because they didn't have printing presses and things like that, so they didn't have Bibles all over the place. They had to memorize it. And so, we're going to look at and let the Bible paint a picture of the importance of remembering, okay? One of the reasons I love Memorial Day is because really it plays so well into a sermon from the Bible, and it's also important for us as we remember those who have fallen that got us to this point. Whether we agree with all of the wars or all of the things that our nation has done or our country has done or our government, regardless of that, there are people that have sacrificed their life so that we could have what we have today. And it's important that we remember that, because if we start forgetting and we don't set up a memorial to help the next generation remember, pretty soon it's all going to be lost and we're just going to start repeating the process over again. So we learn from our mistakes. And we learn from the things, our successes as well. In the Old Testament, we see many memorials set up. For instance, one of my favorite ones is in Genesis 9:16. Let's start with 13. God said, "I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign for a covenant between me and the earth." 16, "When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look up to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh on the face of the earth." Exodus talks about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it right, to keep it holy. Israel had several feasts that they celebrated. These feasts or festivals were set up in order to remind them and to teach the next generation about what God has done, where they had been, and what God has done for them. They had the Feast of Passover, which kind of filtered into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that celebrated the escape from Egypt, or the exit from Egypt, and all that happened there. They were 400 years in slavery, and God delivered them. Then there was the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. They did this to commemorate how God provided for them booths, houses, tents, and all this kind of stuff in the wilderness as they escaped Egypt and went to the Promised Land. There's the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Harvest. They would do this to thank God for the first fruits of their harvest. And then at the end of the year, they would do another one, the end of the harvest year, and it was called the Feast of Ingathering. Now, God asked them to place these feasts and memorials in place so that they would remember. Exodus 13:8. You shall tell your son on that day, saying, "It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." It's because what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. What has the Lord done for you? And are you teaching anybody that? Are you sharing that with the next generation? Are you running that through your mind every once in a while? They also had memorials just in their clothing, like the tassels. They had to wear tassels to remind them of something. And also on the ephod, which was something the priests wore, they put stones with certain signatures on it. And that was a memorial so that they would remember something. Speaking of stones, Joshua and Samuel both set up stones and stacked them in a pile as a memorial. In Joshua 4:21-22, he said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground.'" What has God done for you? There was a pot of manna. Did you know that in the Ark of the Covenant, not the one on the Indiana Jones movie, but in the real one, there was a pot of manna. God told them to save this pot of manna as an example of how God provided for them when they could show the next generations, all the kids coming up, how God provided for them. And Exodus 16:32, Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." So all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and the New Testament, we find these memorials. Things that remind us, God's people, of what God has done for them. Now, it's very obvious that God believes that this is a good process for us to be a part of. It's so rich in the Bible. Stop and think about it. What has God done for you? Remember what God has done and make sure the next generation understands the significance of that. We also read in the Bible that sometimes things go south when people forget God. Also in Judges and Joshua, I know Pastor Keith is going through Judges. It's a very interesting study. Judges 8:34 says, "The sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side." Judges 2:10 says, "And that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done." What has God done for you? Remember the work of God. What has he done for you? Deuteronomy 6:12. "Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, of the house of slavery." I was going to read Deuteronomy 4:9. I want to read this again. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Anybody have grandchildren in here? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's some proud hands going up when that happens. Make sure your grandchildren know what God has done for you. Don't take it for granted that they're just going to find out on Facebook or this or that. Make sure that they know. What has the Lord done for you? Stop and think about it. Cause yourself to bring it to your current thought life often. Neurologists say that when you retrieve a memory, even if you stop and you purposefully think about it and you take some information from archive, I'm pointing at it like I know exactly where it is, right? I don't know. Yeah, somewhere. But they say when you bring something from your archival memory to the forefront of your mind, you actually create a neurological path. It's like if you were to make a walk into the woods to go and get something like this picture here. And if you continue to do that, you have a beaten path to wherever it is you're going. And then usually when you go into the woods, you take that path. Your brain actually does that very same thing. If you continue to go and get that and retrieve that memory, pretty soon it's a beaten path in your neurological mind, and your brain automatically goes down that path. That's actually how habits are formed. Now, I'm not preaching against any bad habits, but let's take cigarettes, for example. You feel stress, and you get anxious, and you light up a cigarette. And then from then on, after you get addicted to it, your brain sees that path. And so when you feel the stress and anxiety, your brain says, time to smoke, right? That's the beaten path. Sometimes to get over habits, we need to make new paths, right? And so, but it's important to realize that, because whatever it is you're bringing to the forefront of your mind becomes more natural because you have a beaten path to it. It's like when I was learning how to play the guitar, you know, and you learn your scales, and you know, you have G, A, B, C, D, E, F sharp, A, G, G. You see, I have to think about it, because when I play it, I don't say the numbers or the letters, right? I just play it, and used to I have to, think about where's this finger, but now it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You know, it's forwards and backwards. It's easy because I've retrieved that memory so many times that it's right there at my fingertips. Now, if it can happen with that, and if it works with that, it works with the Word of God. And that's why He wants us to think about how important it is to remember things. Stop and remember this. Stop and think about it. Get it close. Get a beaten path there. Lynetta is giving out these books of memory verses to our kids, to your kids. And so you parents that have children in here, when they get home, say, what's your memory verse? Make them quote that memory verse. Join them in memorizing that verse. Because here's what happened. At some point, most kids are going to go through a couple of days in their life and it's really bad. They're going to hit something that's going to be troubling. Now, they have a choice. Where are they going to go for help? Where are they going to go for acceptance? Where are they going to go for information? If they have a beaten neurological path in their brains already that goes to Scripture, they're going to say, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know whenever my wife Jill, something happens to her or some of our family, and it makes her fearful, and she feels fear or worry start trembling, she immediately quotes, "You have not given me a spirit of fear, but a love and power to sound mind." It's automatic. It's right there. That's the importance of remembering. Keep it fresh and keep it in our mind. The more that you bring those things to your current thought, the better that beaten path is, and the better and more accessible that information is. It becomes a part of your natural thinking. Jude 1:17 says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 3:2 says that you should remember the words spoken beforehand. Did I read the first one right? See how close they are? Said it twice. What's the next one? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Remember those words. That's the benefit of memorizing Scripture. Paul talks about remembering thing and gives us an importance and a relevancy of how we should remember things. In Ephesians 2:11, if you would turn there, let's see what Paul says. Ephesians 2:11. I like this, and this is important. I want you to get this picture here. "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands." What he's saying here is, you Gentiles, the Jews consider you Gentiles because of your uncircumcision. "Remember," verse 12, "remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Remember that, he says? You remember? Verse 19, "So then you are no longer strangers, you're no longer aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Could it be that you will only understand who you are if you fully understand what you were saved from? I know that we try to preach and convince people you need to think about yourself as God thinks about you. You need to see yourself as God sees you. And that is very true. We're no longer that old person. That person is dead. But you know what's beneficial, according to Paul? Remember what kind of person you are, what you had done. How did you feel? How did it feel being in that dark area in your life? And now how do you feel because of the blood of Jesus Christ lifting that weight off of you now? I don't have sin to weight me down anymore. The only way I can rejoice in that is to realize how heavy that sin used to be when I lived in sin. And now that I don't, I'm free of it. I feel lighter. I feel happier. I have a hope. I know where I'm going in the future, in eternity. Amen? He also told the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2:5, remember from where you have fallen. And the church of Sardis in Revelation 3:3, remember what you have received and heard. What did you deserve when you were there in your sin? And what are you promised now as a Christian because of the salvation we get from Jesus Christ? In all of these instances of encouragement to remember, we find ourselves thinking about that, who we were, what did we deserve, and what has been done to save us from that. I find sometimes that if I'm having a bad day or a dark day or a challenging day, and I don't feel as happy as I know a Christian should probably feel. Anybody else? One thing that I can do is I found out, this is very true for me, if I will stop my life and just begin to think about and remember my blessings, it's like everything, okay, it's not so bad now, is it? When I stop and think about it, and I just begin to say, well, God, I thank you for this in my life. I thank you for this in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm remembering these things in my life. All of a sudden, it just lifts my attitude. Remember, what has God done for you? Do you remember the old hymn, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Yeah. Right? Count them up. It'll make you feel better. Psalms 45:17. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. And there's Psalms 103:2. We sing this song. Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now, I want you to think about this sentence. Who is he talking to? And before you answer, I want you to think about this. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's actually talking to himself, because God's not going to forget his own benefits. But his soul will. So he says, soul, don't forget the benefits of the Lord. Self, that's what I call myself when I talk to myself. Self, don't forget the benefits of God. Are you feeling bad? Are you having a bad day? You know, I don't want to make light of that, but when you think about all the wonderful things that we have in this country and in our lives and in this state, we are a blessed people. Church, we are a blessed people. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. We're going to do communion this morning, and I want to ask you, if you have not, if you did not pick up a communion cup, if you would do that, please. Raise your hand, I mean. If you would raise your hand. We have some that did not pick up a communion. You have some communion coming to you. Keep your hand up until you get a communion cup, please. By the way, if you're new to Bethel Church Choctaw, we open up communion to everyone that wants to take it. We advise that you check your life and make sure that you're doing this with a good conscience and a good heart. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. This is why we get to celebrate like we do as Christians in church. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God loved the world so much. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son Whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of that sacrifice that we're remembering today, we have a hope for eternity in heaven. The scripture says, do this in remembrance of me. That's another way. One version I read said this, do this as a way of remembering me. So Jesus says, as often as you do this, as often as you take the communion, representing the Lord's Supper, as often as you do it as a way of remembering what Jesus had done for you. Everybody get communion that needs it, right? Okay. Oh, I didn't. Yes, I would like communion too. Mark, can you please? Oh. Thank you, Jill. Thank you. First Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'll give you a moment to get the bread out and let's take of the bread. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you took on your body. We remember that's why we are no longer hopeless, lost, but we are victorious and found. Verse 25 says, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And you may now take the cup. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your love and sacrifice for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How valuable it is that we stop on occasion, stop our lives, and just think, what has God done for me? I had a card that I meant to bring in here, and I want to tell you about a memorial. I love memorials, and I set one up in my office. About 3.5 years ago, I received a card on it of when I first became a pastor of Bethel Church Choctaw, and it was from Don and Anastasia Connors. And I normally keep a card on my desk when I get it. I love them. I appreciate it. And then I file it away. I keep them. But this one I have left out and open in my office from the very first day that I got it. I kind of set it up as a memorial because it says in big letters on the front of it, Pastor. And it was the very first card that I received as pastor. And it reminds me of God's blessing. And how I am so humbled that God would call me to serve this congregation as pastor and be your servant. And I'm so thankful for it and very humbled by it. But when I go through those days that I want to quit, I look at that. No, that day's never existed, not really. But if I go through a day that it gets really challenging and I'm like, oh, I don't think anybody likes me anymore, or whatever the case may be, I look at that card that's up in my audience, at my office, as a memorial, and it reminds me of how thankful I am that God chose me to represent him in this way and be a servant to this congregation. And I love that, and I love you all very much. My wife and I both do. If you would stand with me, please.